Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
Welcome to Barbecue Nation with JT's After Hours. Conversation that took place after the broadcast ended.
Hey everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Hey everybody, welcome to After Hours here on Barbecue Nation. Thanks for staying with us and tuning in. We're talking with Robert F. Moss today. I almost called you Robert Frost, but you know, that's he was a great writer too. Yeah, there you go. And we'd like to thank Painted Hills for all their efforts here on the show. And what's the one thing in all your writing about barbecue, Robert, and all this stuff, is there a wow moment for you when you either stopped by a restaurant and had lunch there or something you discovered in your research? Is there a wow moment that you just go, man, that's cool?
That's a good question. I don't know if it's such a necessarily a wow moment, but it was certainly, because it probably evolved over time. But my book that I did in 2010 is called Barbecue, the History of an American Institution. And the original title was going to be Barbecue, the History of a Southern Institution, because I just assumed going into it that barbecue was this super Southern thing.
Sure.
And that, you know, the history would all be about the South. And because at the time I was writing it, there wasn't a whole lot of barbecue elsewhere. But sort of the aha moment was when I realized, wait a second, in the 19th century at least, barbecues were all over the place. And so one wow moment was when I turned up accounts of barbecues like on the Oregon Trail.
Yeah.
Pioneers heading west stopped to have a barbecue on July 4th. And then I found after that in the 1840s, all these barbecues in California and Oregon. It was really a national tradition of cooking outdoor barbecues. And so that's why the book became an American institution and not a Southern institution. It later sort of collapsed back to the South, but that was a bit of a wow moment.
I bet it was. Did you ever go to a goat grab?
Not a goat grab. I've had a lot of barbecue goat, but is that sort of like a pig picking, but with a goat?
Kind of. Exactly. It's when I was in the Middle East a number of years ago, and my buddy who actually brought me over there to work on a show, a project with him and stuff. And he kept telling me about goat grabs when we'd talk on the phone. And then I finally figured it out that they would roast a goat. And the tradition was, a lot of the guys that, like say example, lived in Riyadh, they would go out in the desert a little ways, you know, 20 miles or something. And kind of at a, what we would think of as an oasis, but it, cause not all like Saudi Arabia is just sand. You know, they do have some, they pour some water on the ground once in a while and stuff grows. Anyway, they would put up some tents and stuff and they would kind of dress in their Bedouin garb and they would roast a couple goats. The thing was, is they would actually pull it off the carcass with their hands. They'd take a knife out of their pocket and they'd just start cutting it what they wanted and do it with their hands. And that, hence the term goat grab. So it was a little different. I'll tell you that. It was a little different.
sounds good to me. I mean, anytime I've had any kind of goat or, you know, lamb or whole animal cooked over a fire, it's always turned out great. So I can't imagine that would be bad.
No, it was good. And we used to do, I used to help a guy years ago that we would do whole hogs. And, I didn't care so much about eating the meat. I mean, the meat was great and I loved it, but I just eat the cracklings. I always had a pair of needle nose pliers in my back pocket and a cold beer in my left hand. And I'd just go rip the cracklings off the pig. And I was happy, man. I was happy.
Yeah. That's the best part. I've cooked a number of whole hogs for events and, you know, parties and stuff like that. And yeah, the cooking part's much more fun than the actual eating of it later.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And if you haven't done it, find somebody who does it and And maybe you can help them out there, you know, get a couple of tips before you try it yourself. But those cracklings, man, I could just grease running down your chin. Like I said at the top of the show, ruin a few shirts and stuff, you know. But
that's right.
It's worth it. It's well worth it. Okay, so I'm going to put you on the spot. What's your favorite kind of barbecue?
Now, if you'd asked me this 15 years ago, I think everybody's favorite kind of barbecue is sort of what you grow up with. And so I sort of grew up in Greenville at the edge of the Blue Ridge Mountains and travel a lot. You know, drive up through the Piedmont, North Carolina. So Piedmont, North Carolina style barbecue is sort of my native mode, if you will. And for a long time, that was my favorite. But one of the great things about traveling around so much and eating so many different kinds of barbecues, I've really started to appreciate, barbecue in all different regions and areas. So I don't really, I'm not one of these persons who says, well, real barbecue is this, that, and the other, which is usually means real barbecue is what I grew up with. I will say, though, that in the recent years, I've really come to appreciate sort of classic whole hog barbecue.
Yeah.
It may well be my favorite thing just because it's so, just nothing compares to pulling the strand, those long strands of pork right off the pit and, you know, all the different textures and flavors you get with it. And I just really love the whole process and everything else. So if I had to just choose one, it would probably be Eastern North Carolina or PD South Carolina whole hog.
You got a winner there with me, bud. I'm telling you, because like we talked about, it's just a lot of fun and it tastes great. And, there's usually a cold beverage involved, so that's good.
Yep.
And I like that. I guess the one thing that I'm always kind of shake my head at is when you go to certain restaurants and they say, we've got ribs, and you know dang good and well that they're prepackaged and they've, you know, with sauce and the whole caboodle on there, mm-hmm. and they've just heated them up and that's their barbecue. I won't ever order those. I just don't, you know, it's just bad karma, I think, or something.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. What?
Yeah. An oven, there's just no magic to an oven baked rib. It's just sort of pork with bones in it. But when you're cooking the right way, and there's so many different ways to do them, but you know they get so crisp and it's almost like bacon. The flavor and the smell of it. Like, you know, properly cooked cracker ribs is a wonder.
Oh, it is, it is, and I never wonder why they never survive. You know, I mean, there's very few leftovers if you do them at home. Oh, yeah. You know,
not in my house at least.
Yeah, I did a couple racks last week, and I tweeted something about this the other day. I walked in the kitchen and my wife said, oh, you smell good. You smell like ribs and smoke or something like that. And I said, well, hell, there went the Polo Black. I'll just leave that on the shelf now and just walk out by the smoker every morning. You know,
there you go.
It does that. Is there a food, Robert, that you think shouldn't be barbecued or smoked or grilled?
Should not be.
Yeah,
barbecue.
Should not be.
I'm not a big fan of the various, you know, vegetable things that you would put on a grill, like grilled mushrooms or cauliflower or things like that. Not that I dislike those foods. I just never find that to be very satisfying. I'd rather cook that kind of vegetable some other way. So I tend not to do a whole lot of veggie stuff on the grill. I think most meats I'm good with. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I can rule out, but yeah.
Maybe
mushroom caps and cauliflower steaks is what comes to mind.
There you go. Maybe platypus, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I don't know about platypus. I did actually come across this in one of the cue sheets a couple weeks ago, a woodchuck barbecue. Recipe for barbecue woodchuck that comes out of Pennsylvania. I don't know, a woodchuck is something that I would put on a barbecue grill, but that sounds like it could go south.
Real we actually have a station in Philadelphia that airs this show, so if anybody's listening up there to the After Hour show, tell us about, write me a note and tell me about barbecue and woodchucks. I'd be curious about that. Hey, if you could work with one of your barbecue heroes, which we didn't really talk about that in the regular show, but if you could work with one of them, who would it be?
Now, in that sense, you mean like a modern day?
Yeah, or even, you know, Big Bob Gibson or Meathead or, you know, what? Well, if you're going to do with Meathead, you got to learn to drink a little more, too. But anyway.
Yeah. All those guys are great. And I've done lots of events actually with Chris Lilly from Big Bob's. I love doing anything with Sam Jones from Skylight Inn and Aiden. Sam's one of the funniest people you'll ever meet. And he's just good fun to have around a pit, you know, hanging out with all night. There's so many great people in the barbecue world that, you know, and the great one that I get to do is I get invited to these events. So I get to hang out while people are cooking, which is really the fun part.
You know, sure.
Because barbecue cooking is mostly about sitting around and, you know, talking crap and, you know, and having fun.
Yeah.
So, you know, just about anybody who's a well-known pit master, I'd love to hang out with them and cook.
Okay, so if I declared you supreme ruler of barbecue for a week, and you any edict that you made had to be kind of considered as law, what would you decree? Still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm thinking about that one.
That's all right.
That's tough. I would decree, this is sort of, I don't know if this would be controversial or not, I'll decree that you should only cook pork shoulder over direct heat and brisket over offset heat. And the reason I'll say that this is if you go to Texas and places like that, there's lots of pulled pork everywhere these days. In fact, it's getting more popular. You used to never be able to find pulled pork in Kansas City, Missouri, and, you know, 20 years ago, no one was serving it. They would put ham on the pit and other things, but not pork shoulder.
Right.
But now you can find it. I just don't think pork shoulder does well on an offset smoker. You know, those smokers are great for cooking brisket. If you go to the Piedmont in North Carolina, where they cook pork shoulders, they do it on direct heat with coals up underneath the meat that's cooking.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like that is the way pork shoulders were meant to cook. It gets like this great crisp outside brown, but when you do it over direct heat and you're cooking and you're burning the wood down the coals outside the pit like they do and shoveled under,
sure,
then you get this, you don't get a lot of smoke in the pit. The juices come down off the pork and rise back up. If you do it in an offset smoker, like the kind of thing you might cook brisket on, it's basically bathing in smoke the whole time. I don't think the texture comes out well. It doesn't get that crispness. I just never have really good pulled pork that I really like when it's cooked on an offset. So that would be my decree. So
there you go.
Pork on direct heat, beef on offset, and never the two should meet.
I'll tell you something. In all the years I've asked that question, that was probably the most thorough answer I've gotten from anybody. Truly, truly, I'm impressed. Because a lot of times they'll say, well, you know, you should never try to cook a brisket on a gas grill or, you know, standard kind of stuff like that. But that was a truly thoughtful answer, and I appreciate that. Where's the worst place that you, Robert Moss, ever had to cook?
Worst place I've had to cook?
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a single one, but the theme is rented beach or mountain houses.
Yeah.
Are the worst places, in part because anytime you're not in your own kitchen, it's tough. But vacation house, you know, it's either somebody's leftover hand-me-down kitchen tools or something they bought that's super cheap and it's been used by all like 4,000 people. The knives won't cut anything. It's just everything's terrible. So you don't have the equipment, and you're mentioning the gas grill. Maybe think about that. We did rent a mountain cabin not too long ago, a couple of years ago, up in North Carolina Mountains, and they had a little gas grill. And so we were, you know, doing some cooking at the house because we were there for a week, And so I think I got steaks and was going to grill them. You couldn't, I swear that thing, the burners probably didn't get above 150 degrees.
Yep.
It took me forever to cook the steak. And of course, you know, so that's even like worse than the lousy stoves and equipment that you get in most houses. So
I know.
That'd be my answer.
If anybody's listening out there and you have a rental property, do not furnish it with stuff from the dollar store.
Yes, yeah. Please do not.
You know, just don't.
Well, I've taken to bring my own knives. I bring my own spice. I have a little spice cabinet. I put them all in a box and bring those along and you know, bring some tongs and the things I know I'm going to need, because you're bound not to have any good stuff. It's your typical, short-term rental property.
Oh, yeah. And if you got a gas grill, and I use a gas grill at home. I mean, I use several types of, you know, cookers. But do yourself a favor, not you, Robert, but you know this, but when you get a rental property or something like that, beach property, clean the grill before you leave. Because when you open that thing up and somebody grilled on it 2 weeks before and now there's little, you know, biological creatures growing with, you know, and they speak to you when you lift the lid, clean it off. You know, just my thoughts. And that, you know, you can do whatever you want, people, but, yeah, I think we've all been there and done that. Here's some fun questions. I don't know if you, and don't be offended by these, but I put everybody through this. Would you describe yourself as corn fed or grass fed?
Definitely corn fed. I'd like to say I was grass fed, but it's corn.
Yeah, it's me too. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You know, it's corn fed. Dire Straits or Justin Bieber?
Oof, Dire Straits.
There you go. Boxers or briefs?
I'm a boxers guy.
There you go. I like that too. If we put you could either do your cooking skills or your writing skills. If we put it to music, what music would it be?
Man. I'll do cooking because I don't listen to anything when I'm writing. So what style of music or?
Yeah, whatever. I mean, if you've got a favorite off, you know, mine would probably be something like Bob Seger, but, you know, that's me.
Yeah, I've been listening to a lot of Drive-By Truckers lately.
Okay.
It's a great Southern band. And that's good for cooking, especially cooking barbecue. That's some barbecue music. So I'd say Drive-By Truckers.
There you go.
Or Jason Isbell, who used to be in Drive-By Truckers, just solo now. I listen to both those all the time when I'm cooking.
There you go. If you could cook and then dine with a historical figure, who would it be?
That's a tough one. There's so many I would love to dine with.
Yeah.
And cook with as well. From a historical perspective, from a barbecue perspective, I'd probably say someone like Henry Perry, who was the great pioneer of barbecue in Kansas City.
Sure.
Some back in the early 20th century. So I think that'd be definitely somebody I'd love to see how he cooked. And then obviously I'd love to eat some barbecue with him.
There you go. There you go. Well, Robert, it's been a lot of fun to have you on the show. And again, tell people how they can find you and your books and your cue sheet.
Yeah. Well, the easiest way to find me is my website, robertfmoss.com. That's F as in Frank in the middle. And there'll be links to the books, to the cue sheet. It's right on the front. You can sign up for the subscription there, and it comes out every Sunday and has all the links there too, as well, to all my Twitter, Instagram, and all that kind of thing.
Sure. Excellent. It's been a real pleasure. I've enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, same here. It's been great. Thanks for having me on.
We'll be back next week with another edition of After Hours. Go out there and cook something. Stay safe, everybody.